Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling. We are now in the second hour of the show. We will be doing special programs all this week on the coronavirus crisis in Maine. We turn our focus now to what's going on all over America, the mass shift to working from home, how this change affects people, how to best use technology, and what makes a successful workspace at home. Joining me, Arthur Fink, a consultant and coach who works with organizations on how to operate with insight and clarity, Jared Maxfield, founder and owner of Necessary Technology, and Alan Brown, director of ergonomics for Memic, a workers' compensation company. As always, we want to hear from you. Share your concerns and questions about working from home. We could even use some humor, that's for sure. Email talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Jared, Alan, and Arthur, thank you so much for joining me today. You are speaking to someone who is living this. I'm broadcasting from my family room. My children are both doing college classes from the dining room right now, and my husband's also working from home. Jared, you're doing this with small ones in the home, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm actually, we're open. My business is currently open in Portland. So while my wife and daughter have a brand new at-home work and school lifestyle, we are still delivering our service here in Portland at a very different level than we used to. We're borderline cleaning like hospitals and labs in here, but we have a service that, especially with folks being home right now, we're doing our best to stay open and, you know, like a lot of small businesses, do what we can to keep moving forward during this time.
Wow. Well, Jared, let me ask you this. What are your clients who are suddenly shifting to working from home? What are your customers asking you for? What are the biggest challenges they're facing?
Challenges, you know, there's no new challenges. It's just they're amplified at the moment. Because so many people are all of a sudden working from home, they are a lot more reliant on their technology, but also sometimes their own technology. You know, if you go into the office, you might have a work-supplied computer or tablet. But when you go home right now, a lot of folks are working on their own home PC or their home Mac, trying to get it to, you know, run things properly, especially when you're trying to reach out and teleconference or access a company network. There's just a lot more bandwidth being used, literally, with everybody sitting at home. So we're seeing bandwidth issues, connectivity issues, the same things you'd always see. But we're also seeing the accidents. You know, accidents happen. Accidents don't care that there's a virus lurking around all of us and making our lives miserable. So glasses are, you know, water spills and cords getting knocked out. You know, all the stuff that's always happened is still happening. It's just being amplified because we are so much more reliant on our home technology to do our job and schooling, you know, so much more than we were just 2-3 weeks ago.
All right. Well, Arthur, I want to turn to you. And before we get some real practical tips, I want to ask you sort of what you've been thinking about sort of almost philosophically as we think about this shift to work from home, as so many millions of people who didn't do this before are finally finding technology solutions and trying to make this happen. How is our society changing?
Well, ideally, we're going to end up with better management. I mean, there used to be what I refer to as management by proximity. I see Susie in her cubicle, and I assume that she's productive and getting work done. Little do I know that she's worried about her mother, who is taking a turn for the worse in her sickness, and seven other things. All of us have been, or many of us have been, through the experience of needing to get a report written or a document read. Say, I'll go home, there'll be no distractions, I'll get it done, and management is fine with that. But when you're home for a week or 2 weeks, how does your manager know that you're really working, getting things done? How are you sure that you're solving the right problems or meeting the right objectives? How do other staff, some of whom are still working in the office, know that you're as productive a member of the community And these don't come up typically on day one or day five, but when I help set up telecommuting programs, after a few weeks, or sometimes as early as a week, these became big issues. And so I'm asking the question, how will managers learn to really contract with their staff for needed projects and check in together, say, is the project well-defined? Am I on schedule? If not, do I need to revise the schedule? Is there something slowing me down? Am I not getting the information that I need? And when you're working from home or at a remote center, we have a lot of these co-working centers like Peloton now, which are probably not relevant today, but they're very similar in the issues. We can see where tasks are defined, where agreements are made, and and managers ought to be able to see much more clearly what's running the way we expect it is, where are the surprises. Staff may be more responsible for that.
All right, Matt. Yeah. Al Brown, I want to bring you into the conversation. Al is the very talented and entertaining physical therapist who helps all of us at Maine Public have proper ergonomics. Al, if you could see where I am right now, you might not be too happy with me.
Listen, we have a little tool called eErgo where you can send those photos to me and we can make sure it's correct.
Oh, I'm actually not doing that badly. But, you know, sort of the bigger thing that you do, Al, is you mm-hmm. take care of people. And I want you to give us some lessons on taking care of ourselves if we are working from home.
Sure, absolutely. We're in the unique situation, Jennifer. First, thank you very much for having me on here. It's great to have this opportunity. We have got a great state. A lot of folks are very reliant on themselves. Jared's first comment about, we have to be creative when we're home. We tend to refer to it at Mimic as Sawzall and duct tape, that sometimes we need to be creative. So going home last week, Monday, Mike Bork decided that 470 of us will probably be working from home. So we made that transition. And like many others, I was getting calls at Mimic that said, oh my goodness, policyholders, what are we going to do? So resources were handed out. The first thing we tried to get everybody to do was if folks were going home with a laptop only, have them pick up their mouse and their keyboard too, just to walk home. So they have two input devices that are separated from that laptop. Because what do we all do? I don't know where you are right now in your house, but a lot of us, if we're home and we have that transferable laptop, we'll clunk down on the chair, the recliner, the sofa, the kitchen table. And for the couple hours or the half hour that we might be plunking away at that, we're fine. But what folks realize that as time goes on, a week, now we're into our second week, that they begin to feel a little bit uncomfortable just because of the setup. So the very first thing is if we can separate that laptop from the keyboard and mouse, it's a great first step. So for any folks that haven't made the transition yet, make sure you grab those two items before you leave your office to go home. We've posted on your website, I think Jonathan did, some tips that we have. So as we reference these throughout the day, they can go back there later on and kind of pull that off to sort of reference what to do. And finally, probably the first and foremost thing when you do go home is from the wise words of my wife, because in Loss Control, we actually work from home most of the time. So we are remote users and are very used to this type of environment. She said, don't put that office in the bedroom. You don't want to wake up to your work every morning. And I heeded those words and found a quiet space in the house. And for those folks that can do that, that's a great thing to do, is to separate yourself a bit from the work, because it is there. And if it's always in sight of the kitchen table or the living room or your bedroom, you sometimes feel obligated. You feel like, oh, I really don't want to look at that, but I should. I heard it beep. My computer lit up. So it's good to create a separated space where it can be on its own. So kitchen tables, living room chairs, don't make good offices. Try to find a space for yourself out there.
All right. So, Arthur, I want to ask you about protocol for meetings that are teleconferenced. When we have, whether it's a Zoom meeting or WebEx or one of the other programs that have become so widespread now, what do you advise for setting up a video conference from home? Are there certain things that people may not think of that they ought to be?
Well, first is keep it as simple as possible. And I mean, with Zoom, you can get a free account and host a 45-minute meeting. And if you're a little bit technophobic, somebody can hold your hands for 15 minutes and you'll learn not enough to be dangerous, but enough to have a rudimentary conference. The thing that we forget when we're working virtually is the first thing you need to have a successful conference or meeting is conference goals. Our goal, whether it's 15 minutes or 45 minutes, is to come away knowing how we'll handle this problem or what our priority is going to be or how we're going to address some situation. And the clearer that is understood, the better the meeting. The more those goals and questions surrounding it can be distributed in advance, the more people will think about it and make good use of time. I'm in the process right now of setting up several meetings on Zoom, and I have to say the experience is a delight. Our Quaker meeting had its meeting for worship on Zoom, and one person made the comment that, gee, there were people in the meeting I saw all the time, but I never knew their name, sitting in a Zoom meeting under each person's video headshot was their name. And we found ourselves connecting more personally, not less. But the bottom line is plan, have clear goals, take the time to evaluate. And those technical people are an incredible asset. And I too often I've seen people get stuck on some technical issue. Well, if I just read enough, maybe I'll figure it out. I've been in that situation myself on some networking issue, but a call to someone who knows those networking issues, in 2 minutes, they'll say, I bet it's this, and most of the time, they're right. This whole experience fosters teamwork and collaboration.
I wanted to ask you, Jared, to add to that, if you have any tips on teleconferencing or televideo protocol.
Well, get out of your pajamas is usually my first idea for people. like they said, you got to separate. In terms of, Arthur just brought up a good point about, you know, having to contact people. One of the biggest things we've heard people call in about or stop in and ask us about, especially in the last week, is choppy video, bandwidth issues, really. And a lot of times you have to work that problem backwards because, frankly, that could be a problem with the computer you're using. It could be a problem with the router you're connecting to, or it could be an actual problem with the signal that's coming into your home or wherever you're working from. So those are things that sometimes people are having a little bit of trouble. But as Arthur said, a lot of times they are fairly simple to work back that daisy chain of events or devices and see if you can figure out which one it is. So that's very important. And I think it's really good what Arthur just said about, you know, it can connect people. If you see a face that you can never put to a name, this is an opportunity to do it. We keep talking about social distancing, and the term I heard that I like a little better is physical distancing, because we don't actually want to lose our social contact and our technology, not only to be able to help us do our work and our schooling as we go through this, but there's really good opportunities there as well to use this as an opportunity and use our technology, which usually people complain or make the comment that it disconnects us. But there's a lot of opportunities here to trying to find the silver lining and the positives and use our technology to connect to people, whether it be work colleagues or family members or neighbors or especially elderly ones who might be a little less connected than the rest of us. So there is a lot of opportunity here, to use this and try and find some good out of it.
Well, a lot of us are learning a lot of new things, Jared. I've learned Slack, Tyline, a few other things in the past couple days. But I'm laughing at what you said about your pajamas. I saw something on social media recently about somebody changing from their day pajamas to their night pajamas. So we want to get back to our audience. We would love to have you call in with your questions or even funny stories or your tips about working from home. I know there are people who always work from home. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address is talk@mainpublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling, post to our Facebook page. And join us as we talk about this big shift of so many people now working from home. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Androscoggin Home Health Care and Hospice. With expanded services in Augusta, including pediatric care and telehealth. More at androscoggin.org.
On the next Fresh Air, our guest will be comic and actor Mark Maron, whose new stand-up comedy special is called End Times Fun, and he gave it that End Times title just before the coronavirus. We'll talk about the special and what it's like for him as a self-described recovering hypochondriac to be dealing with the pandemic. Join us.
Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. You can count on and trust Maine Public Television with your children because our PBS Kids programming is educational, safe, and non-commercial. While you can find kids programming on the Maine Television channel mornings and early afternoons, it's also available 24/7 on the PBS Kids television channel. And this channel is also available for online streaming on your mobile device. To learn more, please visit mainepublic.org and click on the television drop-down.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, Working from Home, How to Make the Best of This Change in Lifestyle. We're joined by Jared Maxfield with Necessary Technology, Alan Brown, ergonomics and worker safety expert with Memic, and Arthur Fink, who is a consultant and coach. Join the conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. I'll go first to an email from Aria. She writes, I've worked from home for the past 15 years. I have found myself coaching a lot of coworkers that are new to this. Routine is the biggest part. On the flip side, I've heard dogs and children on conference calls more than I've ever heard. I find most people are just smiling about the new norm. So, Aria, thank you so much for that. Arthur, what do you think about keeping a routine?
I think it's important. Along with that, though, I used to work a lot from home, and it took my wife to say, Arthur, you're bringing into the house this energy of quick movement and rapid intellectual discourse. And it's flooding our house, which was soft and quiet and sweet, with a different energy. And I needed to be reminded to close the door and keep my work energy in my office. And luckily, I actually had a room that was an office. And especially when you've got two people working at home and a couple of young kids and some high school students who are in their studies, and we all need space and we all need some quiet space between us.
And Al, that is one of your biggest recommendations when you think about setting up a home office, isn't it?
Yeah, and Jennifer, I apologize. I guess I'm breaking up a little bit on your end. I'm having some technical issues here. So.
Well, you sound terrific right now, so go ahead. Give us some of your tips for setting up a home office. You say, if at all possible, and we know that it's not always possible. Not everybody has, a great big house with lots of rooms, but find a place that's quiet.
Exactly right. I'm working with a young person at Mimic, and she's got one of those studio apartments, but she found a corner that works for her. And back to your emailer or the folks that just texted in, routine is really important. You know, I work from home a lot, have worked before the coronavirus, and you do wake up early. You go sit and watch the birds with your cup of coffee, as Richard, I think, Louvre once the other day was on Maine Public talking about looking at the animals in a window, and then going back to the office and starting. But what a lot of folks forget to do is to take a break mid-morning, mid-afternoon, lunchtime. Those are important times to walk away. Go get a cup of coffee, go outside on the porch, get a breath of fresh air. It's important to regenerate because when you're not in an office where you have peers walking around that occasionally interrupt you or say, hey, let's go here and have a conversation, you sometimes get so focused on the work in front of you that you forget you have to take care of yourself.
We'll go to Scott, who's calling from Belfast. Hi, Scott. Go ahead.
Hey, Jen. Thanks. I jumped in mid-call. If you've covered this, I apologize. But I've been working from home about 11 years, and I do have a space. And one thing that's important is to set some codes and signs for your family. To the speaker's points about background noise, a sign on the door or a message that if the door is closed, you know, please don't open it or try to keep it down. And for those first-time video teleconferencers, look at what's behind you because you may be sharing information and things you may not want to.
Scott, thanks so much. You know, as you are talking to me right now, we've got a sign on our doorbell, please don't ring between 1 and 3, and also a sign on our dining room door. So, Scott, what have you seen in the background of some video conferencing? Anything you can share?
Yeah, I've worked with some software as a service companies are pitching to us, and they're in a very open space, and it sounds like they're doing construction, and it's just the office layout they have. And there's this big crack on the ceiling right by her head. And all I'm looking at is this crack by her head and hearing this noise. I actually had to say, are you in a construction site? And they're just in an open office space, but they hadn't thought about the acoustics and how sensitive the computer microphone was. So it was kind of an odd call. And I just couldn't stop looking at that weird crack by her head.
That's right. If something's really funny, you can't, you're easily distracted.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for calling in. We're going to go to Ellen calling from South Portland. Hi, go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. I just had a comment. I worked from home for many years, and I think large companies are sort of, you know, used to this now and have gotten over the management issue of having to monitor employees. And, you know, I was listening to one of the speakers before talk about a new management style. And I think one of the great things about that will come out of the coronavirus is more people being trusted to work from home. I've never had an employee that I felt like I couldn't trust to work from home. And I think that'll have a great impact on our climate. And I think people, once they get used to working from home, will be really loving it. And so I think that's one good thing that's going to come out of this. I just wanted to share.
Yeah, sure. Arthur, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, your speaker just used the phrase monitoring employees, and that's what I hope you won't do. What we need to do is have an agreement with a task that the employee is supposed to do or a state of affairs that they're supposed to create and see how that's working. I used to run an international consulting group, and I would tell one of my employees, I want you to monitor this client, and if they're getting in trouble, let me know. And if they're getting in trouble and they don't seem to be getting the help they need, you sound an alarm. Can I count on you to play that role? Because that's going to enable me to manage this client and to report higher up how it's going. And I didn't feel that I needed to look in her office and see what she was doing and how long a lunch hour she was taking. In fact, a lot of that time that we take away from work is actually adding to our creativity and solving problems. I can't tell you how many times I've sat with a client working on a problem, and we, at a certain point, we felt like we're batting our head against a wall. And then we would go out and take a walk. In those days, I had an office on Peaks Island in our house. And we just go down to the waterfront and walk and talk about nothing. And halfway back, either me or the client would say, you know, I wonder if we could solve that problem simply by doing this, and the time away from problem solving, away from the tension, freed up the imagination to find some really good business solutions. Can you identify in which 10-minute segment that happened? No, because it happened in this space, in this time. You can't localize it, but you can applaud that we found a solution.
Ellen, thank you so much for calling and being part of the conversation today. We have an email from Gary. With so many people at home, please do not meet your mail carrier at the mailbox or porch. Don't leave your dogs to run unattended, and leave your mail carrier to have their space. They deliver to all your neighbors also, including the elderly. Gary, thanks for that tip, something I think a lot of people probably hadn't thought of. An email here from Alex. This week, during video meetings with large groups of colleagues, many people were holding up their babies or their dogs to the camera during the meeting, prompting other people to insert chat comments about how cute the kids or pets were. While I have nothing against these cute kids and pets, people doing this while others are speaking is distracting and inconsiderate. Perhaps there could be a separate avenue to share photos of your personal life so that they are not intruding on work meetings. So, Alex, thanks for that tip. And then Martha says, practice with a colleague before interfacing with a client. Take turns being guest or host. Play with functionality. And consider HIPAA compatibility for healthcare issues. So, you know what they say, practice, practice, practice. Al Brown, I want to come back to you and talk a little bit about some tips. We haven't really talked about ergonomics yet. What are some just basics? If somebody is sitting right now at their home desk and thinking, am I doing this right? What do I want to be doing? My feet want to be flat on the ground, right?
Yes, they do. Are they?
They are. What else?
Okay, good. That's a good start. Well supported in a chair, sitting upright. Again, we don't want to be in a reclined position, sort of a low rider look. We'd prefer to have you sitting upright. If your arms are hanging at your side, just bend them to about 90 degrees so your hands and your forearms are parallel to the floor. And your keyboard should be right there, kind of underneath your fingertips. That's a little tricky, and the mouse should just be to the right or left of your keyboard. That's a little trickier when we go to the home office, simply because we're dealing with either older desks and older chairs. So sometimes you have to be a little bit creative. If the chair doesn't go high enough, go find some pillows or some cushions that can actually raise you up. The screens, if you have a window in your office that you like to look out, don't put your screen in front of the window. You want to flank the window off to the side or behind you. One of the things we run into across the state in office, and probably we're going to see a lot in home offices, is discomfort glare, which is light in your eyes coming from things like windows, the sun, things of that nature. The computer is a backlit device, and it doesn't need added light. So you want the screen to be about three times brighter than the ambient light around you. So lower the lights and adjust accordingly and move away from a window, but do take time to look out that window. Paperwork, don't leave it flat on your desk if you can prop it up. And again, Sawzall and duct tape, you might use a clipboard to prop it up or a binder or something of that nature. So again, you look for those little tips at home. If your feet aren't touching the ground, sometimes you can go out and find a piece of board that might be just big enough that will, a 2x8, that's a nice 3-foot piece that you can put under your desk or a box or something of that nature. If you're using your laptop as a screen and it needs to be propped up, again, another box, reams of paper. And if you have good vision, the top of that screen should be at eye height. If you are more of a bifocal, trifocal wear, it's going to have to be much lower simply because the viewing is probably going to be in your mid or lower lens. So you want to bring that a little bit lower for you to see the information. So those are kind of things that we use in the office, too. If you're using two screens, the final one I'll tell you about is if you're using two screens, if you have a primary screen, one that you look at 60% of the time more than the other, center that one in front of you. if you look at both screens equally, then split the screens right down the keyboard and flank them just a bit, angle them so that when you look at them, you can look back and forth. So you look at those things, and certainly every 20 minutes, you should take a 20-minute eye break anyway and look away for 20 seconds, 20 feet, and just give yourself a break from looking at the screen.
All right. Great tips from Al Brown at MEMIC. Jared Maxfield, I want to turn to you and ask you about scams. A couple weeks ago, we had somebody from the Consumer Advocate's Office in the state talk about the worry about scams in times like these. Give us a primer. What should we be looking out for as we transition to doing even more online than we were doing before?
Well, we should really be on the lookout for the same scams. Again, nothing new has been invented in the last 2 weeks. It's just being amplified, including scams, particularly online scams. We've all received those, hordes and hordes of fake phone calls. Hopefully we all know to ignore those and hang up on them. But we're seeing a lot more online scams come up through email, phishing, trying to get your information. Just the other day on Facebook, I saw multiple people forwarding a picture of a check. And it's a standard forward that you see, and it says something to the effect of one of them said Kroger, sign up here and forward, and Kroger is going to give you a $50 free coupon. A few hours later, I see the same image from somebody else posted, except it doesn't say Kroger. It has another grocery store. So the scams that look too good to be true, things that are free, I mean, people are really trying to play up right now on just, people's emotions and hopes and wants. And, something like a $50 gift certificate to a grocery store sounds like a great thing. But if it's bringing you, if you're clicking and you're leaving Facebook and you're going to some weird website and they're trying to collect your information, we really need to have our radars up on this stuff right now, because unfortunately, while a lot of us are pulling together and trying to do the right thing, there's people out there who want to use this as an opportunity to take advantage. That also makes me think about, and I like to talk to people about, think about their at-home security. Hopefully companies who are sending people home that don't have a lot of experience with work-at-home folks are thinking about their security, using things like two-factor authentication, perhaps using VPN networks. You're now going to have a whole horde of population of folks working at home, essentially on their home routers and internet modems and routers and using their home computers to potentially be working on and passing back and forth sensitive company information, financials, private information, health information, all kinds of industries. So there's definitely going to be, not just your regular good old fashioned scams, but there's also going to be, a lot more folks out there who are in the data theft industry. And that's what it is. It's an industry at this point. I'm looking to take advantage of all this access to extra information out there. So security should really be something first and foremost in folks' minds as well. What they're clicking on, what they're responding to, and who they're sharing things with. It's more important now than ever.
All right. Well, we are talking about working from home. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org, tweet at MaineCalling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Roosevelt Campobello International Park, a proud sponsor of On This Day in Maine's History, heard daily on Maine Public Radio and Maine Public Classical, and Coveside Healthcare Coverage Options, whose founder Caroline Irwin specializes in helping Mainers transition into Medicare. CovesideLLC.com.
I'm Marco Werman. Preparation, as you know, is job one when you're anticipating a crisis. Same goes for our newsroom at The World. Our reporters and producers are following events in every time zone. Their contacts include doctors, epidemiologists, and public policy experts. They deal in the facts that can help us live through a pandemic. Be prepared. Be informed. Listen to The World.
Coming up shortly after Maine Calling at 3 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. Maine Public has a free, powerful educational resource for teachers here in Maine, or perhaps parents looking for educational lessons for their kids. It's called PBS Learning Media. Learning Media is an on-demand online media service for educators that provides easy access to a wide range of classroom-ready, curriculum-targeted resources for grades K through 12. For more information or to check it out, go to mainepublic.org. Click on the Education drop-down.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today our program is a two-hour special, and we are talking about the widespread change to so many of us working from home. My guest, Jared Maxfield with Necessary Technology, Alan Brown, ergonomics expert with Memic, and Arthur Fink, a consultant and coach. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Here's a tip from Melanie. She sent it in an email. I have worked at home for decades, and one trick I've used is when it's work time, I turn on my desk light, whether or not I need it. Sort of a office is open mental trick. When I'm done working, the light goes off like I've put the closed sign up. So Melanie, thank you for that. We'll go to Belinda, who's calling from Stonington. Hi, Belinda, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to just echo what Al Brown was talking about. I work for a small business in Stonington. It's Owl, like the bird, O-W-L, furniture. And we do ergonomic standing desks. They're adjustable heights and also task stools. And we talk about the same things that Al was talking about when it core strengthening and active sitting, and we've got a diagram on our website that shows all the ergonomic positions that you should have if you're sitting or standing, and eye height and all that. So I just wanted to put a word in and to support a local business in Maine.
Oh, thanks a lot, Belinda. Al, let me ask you about standing desks. If someone can work from home standing, maybe standing at a kitchen counter or rigging up something on top of their regular desk, would you advocate for that?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Yes. I would. I'll send some resources in on how to create a standing desk. Back when they were just getting popular, maybe 10 years ago, we created sort of a general document to help folks create those. Again, sort of the sawzall and duct tape approach. And so I can put that up there because it's a great resource if you are at home trying to figure that out. But you couldn't use a countertop or something of that nature. As you remember, we had a Maine Calling about dynamic work desks or sit-stand desks. And again, Maine has really been out on the forefront. L.L. Bean did this about 38 years ago, and the rest of the state was well ahead of the curve. And so, you know, we're kind of used to these types of things, used to dynamic desks. When you go into offices, you'll see them more frequently than not. Shout back out to that young lady that just called because they have a great little owl stool that it has two holes where your ischial tuberosity sit. Those are your sits bones, and they sit right in those little holes. And it's a very comfortable chair. So,
well, Belinda, I welcome. Yeah, I invite you to put things on the Maine Calling Facebook page under today's post about the owl chair. Thanks so much for calling in.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
We have an email from Nate. Any tips on making a home Wi-Fi connection stronger? I've heard that a router near a TV or microwave is bad. What does the tech guy think? Okay, tech guy, Jared?
It really depends. I mean, newer routers, I guess it depends, you know, on the age. You know, anything that's broadcasting, especially if they have similar frequencies, they could interfere with each other. So if you suspect that you have a cordless phone, if you still have one of those, or something that's putting out some sort of radio frequency near, you know, a router or something that's broadcasting for you, you might want to try and space them out. In terms of just straight up trying to boost your signal, you know, keep in mind that we tell people routers are probably good for shoot for 4 or 5 years. They do start to fail. You can have one device in your house working and have another not working. That's a sign that a router is starting to fail. If they cut in and cut out, you have to constantly reboot them. That's another sign.
So at the end of the day, if you truly just cannot get the actual signal, you know, signal being different than how much bandwidth you're getting. You know, if your computer's running slow and choppy, but you've got four bars, you know, bandwidth is your issue. If you're in your basement and your router's upstairs and you can't get a connection to it, that's more of your connection. There's not much to do to improve that with your existing equipment, except to go out and, you know, try and find something that will actually give you that reach. I usually recommend Google Wi-Fi to folks. It's a great system, easy to set up, and comes with different pods that you can add around the house to add, you know, larger geographic reach in terms of what you can get out of it. But I hope that answers the question.
Wi-Fi extenders.
Hey, Jennifer.
Well,
Jared.
Go ahead.
No problem. I was just going to say briefly, the extenders are, honestly, we've been around for 15 years. We've never seen any extenders that work that great. In the last couple of years, Netgear and Google have come out with their, what we call mesh systems. The mesh systems tend to work a lot better than just having an original router and then buying a quote unquote booster to attach to it. I've never had great luck or seen many customers have a lot of success with those.
And who was jumping in there? Was that Arthur or Al?
It was Al, Jennifer.
Go ahead.
And Jared, I just want to reiterate that. We were having problems with our router, but it was probably a 10-year-old router, and we boosted to a mesh system. And I have to say, I was quite impressed. I mean, I was down the barn getting the signal at that point.
Yeah, they're much better. It's the new technology, and, you know, people can look for them. I know just last week, you know, some people were having problems even finding some things like routers because as there's a run on, I guess, things like toilet paper, there's random things like routers because as people find themselves working from home, they're all of a sudden finding that what they have at home isn't adequate. So, you know, be prepared, and, you know, if you ever need help, just give someone like myself or someone like us a call because we're here to help.
I want to go to a tweet from Henry. Henry says he would appreciate ideas on getting management to appreciate work is getting done at home and not bog workers down with unnecessary check-ins and meetings. Arthur, what's your advice on this front?
Yeah, that's indeed my topic. First, that contract is really important. That says that, you know, Jane Jones is going to prepare this kind of documentation, or is going to design this system, or is going to handle these tasks, and she will be fed information and goals by this person, and they will be reviewed based on these criteria. And this is not something to be handed to that employee. It's worked out mutually so that then when it's reviewed, you can see what's really happening. It is vital that the manager pass reports of those reviews on to top management, and that and if an employee wants to make sure that they're recognized, write up a brief case study. You know, I was asked to look into the XYZ situation, and I found that there were these five problems. After consulting with A and B and C, we decided to do this. And by golly, the number of support calls went down, the productivity went up, very specific numbers. And remember, management doesn't see you at work. They don't know what you've done. So you're out of sight and out of mind. And you have to take the initiative to document what you've done, not in an egocentric way. In fact, the more you can emphasize how you're collaborating and how you've received support and how the organization is working together, I think the better off you are.
We'll go to Jennifer, an email from – go ahead, Jared.
I just wanted to throw in – this might make Arthur's head explode, but I saw this morning, I read an article about a new not a new company, but an existing service who is quite a bit – they're surging quite a bit. What they do, and I'm not advocating for this at all, is their service allows an employer to basically every 5 minutes take a snapshot from the person's camera on their computer to show that they're sitting at their desk. I think that's the type of stuff that Arthur's trying to say is way above and beyond how we should try and manage people. But
I'm exploding just as you said.
Right.
So if employees are treated with respect and as professionals, and one of the hardest times I ever had as a manager, I had hired a number of superstars and then one fellow whose work was just not acceptable. And the next project I said, Len, let's work together. Let's make sure that we do everything to make this succeed. And it didn't. And the third time I said, Len, I can't keep you on staff. The writing is not working. And he said, thank you, Arthur. If you hadn't said that, I would have resigned. But we need to treat our staff with respect as if they're partners in a common endeavor. Be very, very clear what we need and why we need it. And be very quick to welcome suggestions, welcome requests for assistance. Somebody is having trouble doing their job because they don't have enough access to the technical people or whatever, deal with it. But staff don't want to be micromanaged, and that kind of technology is super micromanagement.
Arthur, thank you. An email here from Judy. I think everyone who's working from home because of this pandemic just needs to be very forgiving of themselves and others. And managers and office leaders need to understand that work will not move in the same way. Being flexible is important. I am manager of my team, and two of our staff have children who will be home from school for probably the rest of the year. The cadence of how they get their work done is going to have to be different now. She goes on to say, there are tremendous resources available for people who work remotely. There's an entire international community of folks who have figured this out, introverts, extroverts, and everything in between. My favorite resource is a book called Work Together Anywhere, a handbook on working remotely successfully for individuals, teams, and managers by Lizette Sutherland and Kay Janine Nelson. There's also a website called Collaboration Superpowers, managed by the same people. There are podcast tips and other resources for remote working I have found very helpful. We're going to try to squeeze in one more call. We'll go to Alan and Gardner. Hi, Alan. Go ahead.
Hi. I am a FEMA responder and was contacted yesterday through my electronic notification system that they're looking for people to help out the Small Business Administration with a call center kind of thing, support. I know you can't tell me what their requirements are, but I was wondering if you can help me with a definition. They said I need broadband, and do you think they'll do a check with my system when I get that up online, or how will that work? Is there a definition for broadband?
Jared.
Broadband is just typically going to be your higher end in terms of speed cable connection. So if you go through a Spectrum or Fairpoint, those are all going to be examples of broadband connections. What they're not looking for is, an old fashioned, like a dial up connection, maybe a satellite connection, like through a HughesNet or something like that. They're basically saying for the process they're going to have you be doing, you need to have a certain amount of speed, and that's going to come from your standard local carriers like the big guys like Spectrums and Fairpoints.
Jared, would you say that if somebody's able to, watch a video on their computer screen, they probably have broadband?
Typically, if they can watch it quickly, that's the key. Even somebody with dial-up could – allow some time to go by for something to buffer or download. But if you could pretty much fire up Netflix and, start streaming a high-def movie pretty quickly, odds are very good you're on some sort of broadband higher-speed connection, which is basically at this point the standard for most places.
Alan,
we've talked about this show 100 times, how in rural Maine, people in rural Maine, that is a whole other story because, unfortunately, when you get out of the larger parts, you do definitely have some connectivity issues, which might not qualify as a broadband connection.
All right, but, Alan, thanks for your call. And Arthur, I think you were trying to jump in. If you could say something quickly, that'd be great.
Yeah, don't worry about who's inspecting your connection. If you're having to twiddle your thumb waiting for the computer, you've got a technical problem. And the two other people on the line with me are the people who are in a position to help you.
All right. Well, Arthur, thank you for that. And thank you to all of our guests today. Arthur Fink, an organizational consultant, Alan Brown, director of ergonomics for MEMIC, and Jared Maxfield, owner of Necessary Technology. We know that a lot of information was given out over today's program, and a lot of those links and resources have been put on our Main Calling Facebook page and our Main Calling website. We wanted to end today's show with a story from a listener. We have been hearing from many of you about how you are doing in the face of the coronavirus crisis. Here is one example of somebody finding the bright side of staying at home. This is from Linda in Denmark, Maine. As we work from home anyway, this is not such a difficult time. We have no young children at home, as we have all grown. They have all grown and have homes of their own in four different states. That makes things a bit easier. We keep in touch via phone and email and plan some FaceTime reading with a young granddaughter. It is a good time to catch up on jigsaw puzzles, reading, and artistic endeavors. Exercise classes are now followed on Zoom and Facebook. It has been interesting to look on YouTube and see what rabbit holes we can find. I discovered an ancient Chinese instrument called the sheng yesterday, and that led to the discovery of many other odd wind instruments and a lovely concert interview with James Galway. Earlier in the week, I saw a dance performance by the Nicholas Brothers, a biography of them illustrating their careers, a bio of Bill Bojangles Robinson, and a two-hour talk by Alex Haley on his roots journey. All this while weaving and doing finishing work on other craft products projects. My iPad is very good company, as I can do other things and listen to books at the same time. Email, phone, Facebook keep me connected to friends and family so we can keep track of one another how we are doing. It's a good time to do some cooking, especially things we are finding in the freezer, so that we need less time at the grocery store. Sunny days are great for getting outdoors for fresh air and exercise. Walking the dog, we can monitor the day-to-day progress of the snowmelt, and observe changes in our surroundings. It's a good time to do some spring cleaning and sorting of stuff. In all, there are plenty of things to do. A bit of imagination helps. We can do this. Thanks for sharing that, Linda, and we encourage you to send us stories of your experiences by leaving a voicemail, and that number is 207-370-3487. We also hope you will call with specific questions for upcoming programs. Tuesday's program is going to focus on healthcare, repercussions of the COVID-19 crisis, including the mental health treatment, dental care, and medical issues. We'll also talk about dealing with anxiety in these uncertain times. Again, that number, 207-370-3487. Please leave your name, where you live, and share your comment or question. Sandra Harris ran the board today. Main Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Main Calling on Maine Public Radio.